And with that, I'm happy, more than happy, and Christina, you can come on up. Would love to answer any of your questions. And I will say, we only have one mic, so if folks have a question, we'll call on you. Say as loud as you can your question, and I'll try to remember to repeat it for folks who maybe can't hear too well. Well, let's just, because we have such a big crew, let's just do one, and then one or two, and then we'll move around the room and we can come back to you. And then we will stick around afterwards for a while, too, for folks who didn't get a chance to get their questions answered.
Okay? I am an individual who buys her insurance already through a private company. And you're talking about that when you're having issues with prices and what have you, to shop the marketplace, but if there's only three companies in Montana, how is that going to change shopping the marketplace?
The question has to do with this lady has currently been buying products in the individual market in the existing marketplace, but if she wants to purchase in the new marketplace, there's only three companies to purchase from?
Correct, already.
Right.
Which is who I compare with already. So how's that going to change going through the marketplace?
Well, what's going to change is going to be that they're obviously offering products that meet all those 10 essential health benefits, and you can be eligible for these tax credits, which would make those more affordable. You cannot get the tax credit outside the new marketplace. So that's the real difference. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Okay.
You also stated that your office receives complaints and stuff. I did call your office when my insurance company back in August raised my current policy by over $400 for absolutely no reason. And I got nowhere with you guys. So you're telling me that your office does receive, does help people, individuals. I totally had to, because I couldn't afford another $400 for absolutely no reason, except that when I called the company, they said, well, we didn't have your son on the policy, which is a total out and out loud lie. He'd been on the policy all along. How is it that you guys do help if I call?
I know. Okay, that's a very good point to make, and that goes back to the point I made earlier, in that prior to this last legislative session, we did not have the ability to review rates. So when an insurance company raises your rates, up until just recently, and that has to do with the new products that were filed for next year in the new marketplace, we have got to review those and some others since then. But everything else that was raised prior to that, and probably yours,
yep.
We didn't get a chance to review that because we didn't have the authority to review it. They weren't sending us that information. And so that's the issue that we were having and have had for decades.
So when was this legislation? I'm sorry, I didn't
catch. It only applies to 2014.
Here, use the mic.
It applied to 2014 rates and policies. So your rate sounds like was raised in 2013. So we didn't have any ability. We were unable to review 2013 rates. So... we definitely have a lot more control now than we did, but for that, we would not have.
Yeah.
My last question, and then I'll leave it alone. You said that there's people need to get individual insurance by December 15th for pre-existing conditions?
Mm-hmm. No, that's not what I said. No, here's what I said.
So there's no gap, you said.
Here's what I said. The open enrollment in the new marketplace began on October 1st, and it lasts for 6 months through the end of March 31st. Okay? What I said was that if you want your new coverage to be effective on January 1, you need to purchase by December 15th. And I said that was really important, that folks who have pre-existing conditions and have really expensive policies in one of these high-risk pools, that they get this enrolled and purchased before December or by December 15th, so they don't have a gap in coverage.
Okay?
Yep. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
I'm just curious what the rationale was the legislature used to not increase
Medicaid expansion? Okay, the question is, what was the rationale that the legislature used? Well, I'm not one of the legislators right now, and I would ask that you talk to your local legislator. The reality is this. Everyone knows that for 4 years now, this particular subject has been one of the hottest, most partisan political topics that most of us have seen in our life. And I'm sure that that's part of it. Or there could be other reasons. But my experience over the last two or three years has been mostly we just unfortunately had a lot of partisanship going on. And it's not just here in Montana. I mean, this is going on nationally as well. So, you know, really encourage you to talk to your local legislators about, you know, how they feel about this and have a discussion. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've been on Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I got a notice that they were recently purchased by a
HCSC. Yes.
And then
Blue Cross Blue Shield was purchased by HCSC.
How does then there were like the profits from that sale, a certain amount of them had to go into
a trust
service or something?
Okay. All right, let me see if I can get this right. Under existing Montana law, the question has to do what happened to the money that's left over after you wind down the old company. After they finish winding down the old company, the money that's left goes into this trust, which is then supposed to be utilized to benefit the people of Montana for health reasons. So they're in the process right now of winding down that company, and then that will happen. The Attorney General and myself had different dual responsibilities throughout the process of the company being sold. My duties have kind of ended at this point, and it's the Attorney General's office now that is in charge of that particular issue as far as putting together the board that's actually going to oversee this trust as well. Is there anything I missed? Mm-hmm. About it?
So yeah. Was one of those a nonprofit company, or why did they have to dissolve?
Well, you want to explain it?
Because we had a law in Montana that talked about converting from a nonprofit health insurer to a for-profit, and because HCSC was considered to be for-profit, they had to take the excess profits, if you will, from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Montana and put them into a trust that would serve health care interests for Montanans. That was in a statute that was passed several years ago called the conversion law.
So we've gone from a nonprofit health care to a for-profit?
Essentially, yes. We have two other nonprofits in our market, though. Both of the other two companies are nonprofit health insurers.
And we will receive premium tax now from Blue Cross where we didn't get it before. There's the lady in the green in the back, and then I'll go to the lady in the pink, and then the one next to her, and then we'll go to this side. Yes.
Thank you for your great overview. And I have a question about one of the 10 essential health services, the maternity care practice. Part of that now has a new provision for breast pumps and lactation services. Who in Montana is going to be the licensed provider for those services starting in 2014 that we know?
For lactation consultant? You know, that's something you're going to have to write to us about. I don't have a list off the top of my head. Someone else asked me about this earlier. And we need to, as far as who's available to offer that, we need to research that. But breast pumps are paid for by the companies, and they have been since this came into effect for over a year now. They have to pay for breast pumps.
Can the Breastfeeding Coalition of the people?
Well, certainly. If you'd like to send us information, we'd be happy to look at it.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes.
Can you explain to me why we can't buy insurance? Obviously, I'm not, because I'm Medicare, but buy insurance across lines, state lines.
The question has to do with why we can't buy insurance across state lines, and that's a really good question. I mean, we already have national insurance companies who are licensed to do business in Montana who are offering products in multiple states, including Montana. The issue that we have, and every insurance commissioner in every single state, and it doesn't matter what their political leanings, our issue is making sure that we have the ability to enforce our state's laws, okay? So any insurance company who wants to do business in Montana is certainly welcome to if they're licensed. And like I said, we have many that are, you know, beyond the three that you've seen. They just have to follow our state laws, and we want to be able to enforce those state laws. If we don't have that ability, and you as a consumer have an issue with that company, then you have to call the state that they're domiciled in, and you have to try to get the insurance department there to try and help you with your issues. And that can be an issue as well.
And they won't.
And many won't, in fact. It'll be very problematic. The woman right next to her, and we're going to work around. No. Only HCSC actually has purchased three different Blue Cross Blue Shield companies.
Or five?
Is it five now? Montana, New Mexico,
Texas,
Oklahoma,
and like South or North Carolina.
North or South Carolina. No.
Federal is a...
Here.
If you're talking about the federal employee plan, is that what you're talking about? They act as a third-party administrator. They just process the claims. So Blue Cross Blue Shield of Montana, which is now part of HCSC, is still processing the claims for the federal employee plan. It's one of the options that federal employees can choose.
Would you please repeat the questions?
I promise to do a much better job. Yes. And then we'll go this way.
In your presentation, you gave me information that I've never heard before, and that's regarding the expansion of the Medicaid. It said from 47% of the poverty level to 138%. In some of the states determine who's eligible for Medicaid based on their income. Now, in those states, especially like Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, and a few others, to be eligible for Medicaid, you can't make more than $2,000 a year.
Okay.
That's $200 a month. Mm-hmm. But with the expansion, if those states, and most of those states are refusing to expand, but even if they would accept to expand, those people, because that's $2,000 a year is about 10% of the poverty line. Mm-hmm. So then even if they would accept the expansion of Medicaid, people who made 10% or more, up to 46% of the poverty line, still wouldn't be covered.
Okay, the question was pretty long, but it was about states currently set Medicaid eligibility, so it's all different levels. Some places it's 47, some places it's 30, some places it's 100% of federal poverty. It's all different across the states. He wants to know how that, if there's a gap, if they were currently only covering like up to 10%. The slide that we showed you is just showing the Montana Medicaid eligibility. So whatever that state is at now, whether it's 10% or 100%, the expansion population would be whatever the traditional Medicaid eligibility level is, up to the 138. That would be the expansion population. So it varies state by state. There's no gap. When you expand Medicaid, there's supposed to be no gap. And it also includes childless adults, which currently traditional Medicaid, you have to have dependent children before you could be eligible.
So that's why you've got these states that have 10% eligibility for Medicaid.
Yeah.
And had like Texas with 25% uninsured.
Right. 35, I think.
That's why they want to get involved.
We should remind you that the Medicaid expansion was paid 100% by the federal government funding for the first 3 years. Then slowly state match is added in up to a maximum of 10%. So the maximum state match is 10% state, 90% federal in the year 2020.
Yes, ma'am. And then you, sir.
I'm wondering if your office can help me. I am over 64, so that makes me Medicare eligible. But when my group health plan ended, I was denied special enrollment by Medicare due to a technicality because my group health plan was administered by COBRA. And so this leaves me in no woman's land, where I am not able to purchase, this is what I understand, I am not able to purchase insurance through the marketplace because I am, quote, Medicare eligible, and yet Medicare says that I will not be eligible until July 1st of 2014 after I have participated in open enrollment. And so this leaves me without insurance from July 1st, 2013, like as in right now, through July 1st, 2014, except for Medicare Part A. Can you help me?
Okay. This is one of those really complex issues in terms of eligibility, depending, especially when you're caught at that age right before 65, but you are Medicare eligible, and so I don't... I'm trying to figure out... I don't know the specifics of why there's denying.
It's due to the fact that they have this little technicality that...
There's a technicality she's being denied on.
Are you 65...
Yeah.
Yes, if you're
64.
If you're 65 now, I can't really imagine exactly. I think you may have gotten some bad information.
Yeah.
So what I would, you need to talk to a SHIP counselor.
I have.
Okay, and they couldn't help you?
No.
Then I would suggest that you call our office because, well, right now Medicare Advantage is an open enrollment, and you should be able to enroll there.
Yeah.
No, that's A, B, C, D. Yeah, you can. Medicare Advantage is A and B, a supplement, and Part D. So you need to maybe you should call our office so we can try to help you with that. I think we can. Okay.
I have like a 2-page explanation. That
sure, and if you. Yeah. Okay.
Because it feels like here we are with everybody. Trying to be covered.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I'm sorry, I thought you said 64. I apologize. Yes, sir.
Since Montana pretty well conforms with the necessary benefits, how many dropped policies has Montana had?
How many dropped policies? He wants to know how many dropped policies Montana has had. None that we're aware of.
Wait, hold on.
I think we're talking about two different things. When you say drop policies, you mean
what they're calling canceled policies.
Canceled policies. Okay.
They're not canceled.
Well, okay. We won't quibble over words. Okay. It's considered market withdrawal. It's a canceled for you, it's canceled. For us, it's considered market withdrawal. But the point is, how many policies have they done that with? Do we have a number?
Yes. Blue Cross there was about 55,000 people in the individual market. Blue Cross had a significant percentage of that amount, probably about 30% of that amount. 70%, I'm sorry. So they're the only company who did an en masse market withdrawal for January 1. They withdrew all their old products and replaced them with new products. That's what happened. And other companies will be doing that throughout the year, but they're doing it on a rolling basis. So they're waiting till the policy renews in 2014. Then they'll give a 90-day notice, and they'll say, you need to choose one of these other policies because yours...
Or consider your other options.
Or go to the marketplace, purchase a new product, and see if you qualify for a tax credit.
Okay, and the premiums will go up.
Not always.
The question is, repeat the question.
And then he asked if the premiums would go up. Like, this is also reforming how companies rate. And in some cases, people are getting benefits that they didn't have before. So some people may experience some rate increase. Many others will receive a significant decrease in their rates. And there's also tax credits to fill that gap.
All right. I got to go this way, and I'll come back.
Yes, sir.
My daughter is one of those people who got a Blue Cross Blue Shield withdrawal. Is that what we're talking about?
We're on the same page.
And
his daughter got one of those Blue Cross Blue Shield product withdrawal notices.
Yeah. And her premium for their next comparable type coverage that fulfills all the ACA mandates will go up 32%.
Uh-huh.
And I can understand a good part of that because there are a few additional coverages like mammograms are covered.
Her premium would go up 32% with the product that they were suggesting or in the offer in the letter.
And it's a high deductible. She's single.
Yep.
No children.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy. But the part that really got both of us kind of confused and dumbfounded, it says, the new health care law requires us to be reasonably assured that you and each member of the policy has coverage for pediatric dental services that are essential health benefits.
Mm-hmm.
The new health care law requires that these benefits, even if there is no one on the policy who is eligible for these services. So she's got to get dental health coverage for, and she doesn't have any children?
Okay, here's the deal. we weren't very happy.
That's an additional premium.
Yeah, we weren't very happy with that Blue Cross letter because there's some confusion there, and we've spent a lot of time trying to talk to HHS about how they're interpreting the law, and basically what they're saying is that folks need to give reasonable assurance that they have either purchased for themselves dental coverage or that they're going to. Unfortunately, Blue Cross Blue Shield with this letter was going to force people to enroll in a particular dental plan. In fact, we just sent a memo or a bulletin to Blue Cross this morning.
It'll be Tuesday.
I'm sorry. I guess I just approved it this morning. Saying to them that they cannot do that. We will not allow them to do that, and that they have to go back to people where they've already done it, and they have to rescind it. All they need to do is get some reasonable insurance from folks that they're going to purchase some type of coverage, but they don't actually have...
And then it's their choice.
They're not going to be forced. It is their choice.
You don't have to buy it through
people. No, they absolutely do not have to. Absolutely. I think that what... And I'm going to be honest here. Here's what I think. I think that, you know, every other insurance company that's offering coverage in the new marketplace made the decision to just kind of, when they, you know, were putting together their rates for the coming year, they kind of like made an assumption about dental coverage and put it into the existing rate. Blue Cross, on the other hand, decided not to do that, and now they're trying to pick up extra premium dollars.
Well, the other problem that she has encountered personally is that she may or may not be eligible for subsidies on the marketplace.
She may or may not be eligible for subsidies on the new marketplace.
She's been trying since October 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's gotten to, you have established a contract.
Or account.
Okay.
And then it goes to, now verify your email address, and she clicks on that, and it says, sorry, we're not able to do this.
Yeah.
Now, that's been for 34 days.
Where does your daughter live?
In Livingston.
In Livingston? We have some sisters in Livingston. Mm-hmm. I would really encourage her, I mean, if you would have her go to our website and look at the a sister list for the Livingston area and go and sit down with one of them and have them assist her.
Certified application
counselor. Yeah, I mean, I would really encourage her to do that because, as I said, we've been hearing that they're having some success, but it's going to take a couple hours of her time.
Yeah, and I've heard that when you go to those particular people, that they have to sit down at the computer and try to get through the same thing you're trying to get through.
The same thing
about doing it on by mail, it goes into a stack that they have to get it.
Yeah, which is the frustration that I'm having as well. He's talking about, you know, going through a certified application counselor versus downloading a paper application. That's my frustration as well. I don't know how long it's going to take them to take care of these paper applications to actually get through them. I don't know if they have enough resources. I don't know how many people are on the 800, behind the 800 number. I don't know any of these things. And that's part of my frustration. And that's why if we'd have done our own state-based marketplace where we could have controlled it, I think that we would have been much more successful in doing a lot of these things. So anyway, that's my frustration. So anyway, all I can say is if people are really, really interested in trying to get this coverage, I hope that they will work through all the different avenues that are there for them, in particular working with these assisters. And at the same time, remember that we do have time. You know, there's still, you know, we got till March 31st. Unless, of course, it's somebody who doesn't want to have gap in coverage. Then you need to get this done in the next few weeks. Okay. This lady right here, we're working our way around the room.
This tax credit that we're supposed to get toward our premiums, do we have to participate in the marketplace in order to get that tax credit.
Yes.
So basically, we can't get the credit if we decide to buy insurance in the private.
The question is, can you get the tax credit if you buy outside the new marketplace? No. That's the difference. And remember that the companies that are offering the policies in the new marketplace are private companies. They're not government companies. It's not the federal government. It's obviously the federal tax credit is government money, but the policies that are being offered are by the insurance companies that also sell outside the marketplace.
So the only way we can get the tax credit is to participate in the marketplace,
yes,
thereby giving the government access to our health care information through the marketplace. In order to get that.
The question has to do with giving the government access to their personal information if they purchase through the marketplace. The fact is that you're not giving them any more information than you give to any insurance agent or anyone else when you purchase health insurance. It's the same information, unless I'm wrong.
No, and they also, for the most part, they already have it. I mean, your social security number, your tax information, primarily what they're collecting is financial information. They're not collecting a lot of health information because health status discrimination isn't allowed anymore. The only one who might be is a little bit at the point of entry of the insurance company that you choose might want to know something about your health background, but they can't discriminate against you on that.
But the bottom line is the only way that we can get any
tax credit has to be through the marketplace, and assisters can help you with that.
All right, there's a lady in the red sweater back here, and then I'll go with this lady right here. Yes, ma'am.
Well, personally, I've been totally underwhelmed by the amount of information about the Affordable Care Act, what's available, and who to go to. And I fault our press people who are here, because I haven't seen a lot of detailed information in our newspapers. What my concern is, and I guess wherever you are, but my concern is this: can your office, on a weekly basis or a daily basis, release press information so that we are totally aware of the fraud that's being put out? You know, how many elderly people in the state of Montana know that they shouldn't give that information when they say you need a new Medicare card? So I think that that would be a great help if you could do that, and then we could just, if we could be assured that that information would get, we learned a lot.
Well, I'm glad you learned a lot. That's the whole purpose of these town halls. And her frustration is with not being able to access a lot of information. I won't place blame, but at the same time, asking that our office continue or even do a better job than we were, better job of putting out information on a regular basis. I will tell you that we do. I know it's difficult sometimes when you're just in one community, but literally we have been all over this state, and we're going to continue to be all over the state. We put out information to the press, not only weekly, but sometimes daily, about things that are going on, whether it has to do with fraud or, you know, any kind of change or difference in terms of what's occurring and happening. We can't control what's covered and not covered. But at the same time, I think that there has been, at least in the last few weeks, more coverage about this than there has been in 4 years in terms of the specifics. And I'm hoping that we're going to continue to see more of that. But I would also point you to our website, not only the MontanaHealthAnswers.com website, but the CSI.MT.gov website, which is actually the agency website, because, you know, we have our press up there, as it goes out, that press is up there all the time. Every release that we put out. Okay, this lady right here.
If the agent that I currently work with is selling 2 out of 3 of the companies that listed in the marketplace, couldn't I just work with him?
The question has to do with if you have been have a relationship with a particular insurance agent, and they've only been selling, or they've only been helping to provide sell policies to one or two of the three companies that are in the marketplace. Can you work with them? Here's the thing. Every insurance agent that's going to sell policies in the new marketplace has to undergo the federal and state training just like the other assisters, and they have to be certified. So if they have been certified, they will be able to sell, and they will be able to sell for every one of the companies, not just one or two.
But they would be able to sell those that are in the marketplace, which
yes.
is going to help you qualify for the subsidy.
Yes,
okay.
But they have to be certified to sell those.
Yeah,
that's right. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to point out that the lack of information in part is the Congress, because they refuse to the information programs that were originally planned, so there's no money for the federal government to do it. And that was the response to the Congress. The other thing that I think is great misinformation, I worked with our university system, and our design for our plan is that no matter what happens, throughout one of our employees, you're not going to go bankrupt. Because one of the things you should know about canceling plans is there's a lot of bad plans out there. And the data nationwide is that about 50 to 60% of personal bankruptcies are due to a medical incident, and half of those people had a bad plan that led them to bankruptcy. What I think this, the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act tries to do is to make sure that everybody has at least a decent plan.
Oh, that's certainly one of the reasons for the law. You're right. I do want to add, though, that I'm just in terms of the first piece where you talked about the federal government putting out information and they're not. One of the things that we find, too, is that the HHS is certainly willing to go out there and market right now in the larger markets like the Californias and the Texases and Pennsylvania, where there's a lot of people. To actually make sure that people are aware of this and understand it. They don't have the resources or right now the inclination even to come to the smaller rural states. So I just want to clarify that as well. Yes, ma'am. Most likely, the question is, she's one of the folks that got the letter from Blue Cross, and they're suggesting a certain plan, and if she doesn't do anything, it's going to automatically roll over to that plan. And she's asking whether or not that plan is from the new marketplace, and would she actually get tax credits? And I would say no. Because, number one, if it's going to automatically enroll without you having actually gone through the process to purchase in the new marketplace, it is not a new marketplace product, and so there would be no federal tax credit.
But they're still using that brand, so
they have to.
I'll let Christina explain that.
Yes, in the individual and small group market, those rules about the 10 categories of benefit and the bronze, silver, gold, they apply both inside and outside the exchange. But still, so you're going to get the same actuarial value, the same products, basically, very similar. But you will not get the tax credit unless you enroll through the marketplace. So they're telling you in that letter, too, that if you might be tax credit eligible, you need to go to the marketplace in order to get that.
But so my question is, if I only have 5 weeks and I meet all these obstacles and can't get anything done by December
15th, right.
And I let it roll over, mm-hmm. Can I stop it at any time?
Yes, as long as you're still in the open enrollment period, which goes till March 31st. It's not a really great idea. I would work with an assister or a certified agent first to try to get it done in the timely manner. And they can help you with that.
Yes, ma'am. You, in a beautiful copper blouse. I think it's copper.
One thing I would encourage you to do in your presentation is to just make sure people know that preventive care was covered. I, for years, paid huge amounts out of pocket with absolutely no benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to get a colonoscopy and a mammogram without having to pay for it. Now, I'm very, well, I paid for it, but I got some benefit. I at least got a return on my investment. I also, for many years, did not report anything to Blue Cross Blue Shield because I didn't want them to know what was going on with me. Because I knew I was going to meet my deductible anyway. So I was just basically paying for them to just take my money and it was a catastrophic plan. So I'm personally grateful for the preventive care and the other things.
If I could just say that she's talking about the fact that one of the benefits now under the new law is that preventative care is actually covered, and it is a huge benefit to folks,
huge
yes.
Benefit. I didn't get one for 5 years because I couldn't afford it. Okay. But the thing that I wanted to make a point on is that make that people aware of that.
It's
that's
in
huge for women especially. Then the other thing is this legal? Here's the question. For years, I worked for organizations that provided mammograms. I would go up, I would get the mammogram. They would always have me come back because of the health specifications. They would always come back negative, right? Fine, I had really great insurance for them. That was wonderful. Now I'm self-employed. Okay, I ask questions, okay? Found out through multiple sources that if I apply for a mammogram, I go in and get it, they'll pay for it. Unless they find something. And then I have to pay for not only the first mammogram, but everything after. Is that legal?
Okay, first of
it's
all...
It's not legal. They're doing this here.
Okay, first of all, let me say that if you go in for a mammogram, the question is, can they then not cover the cost of the mammogram if they find something? They have to cover the cost of the mammogram. Obviously, if you come back for a second visit to look at a potential problem, and then they... Right, that's a whole different story, which brings me to the issue of the colonoscopy, because this is an issue in some cases. If you go in for a colonoscopy, that's supposed to be covered under the new law because it's preventive. However, if while they're in there, they find something and they actually deal with it, then it's not considered just preventative any longer, and then they're charging for it. They can do that, right? No, they can't do it. They can't do it. I'm sorry. Oh, I can't get this all straight. They can't do it. So if they do it, you need to call our office.
Right, right.
Call our office.
You need to call if they do it.
The other thing is, really, I'm just going to say, be very aware of how things are coded. When you go talk to your provider, tell them that you're trying to get this covered under preventive care, make sure they code it correctly.
Yeah, that is a very big problem, is making sure that that treatments are coded correctly. When they're sent to the insurance companies. I want to get people who haven't asked questions yet. I apologize to those of you who did and are still putting your hand up. But yes, ma'am, right there.
I buy an individual policy, and I got a letter. Of course, I turned 60. And so my renewal date was September 1st, and my policy jumped from $317 to $483 a month for me and one daughter.
Uh-huh.
Then the cancellation policy came through, and the gal said, well, you're not going like this because now it's $483 a month.
$536
January 1st. In 4 months' time, my policy went up 69%. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people that's thinking,
sure.
I'm going to have to drop my insurance.
Sure.
So I said to her, is there nothing else that you have?
I'm sorry. She's talking about the fact that her insurance, she's purchased in the individual market in Montana for her and her daughter. It went up on September 1st on renewal. Then she got the letter from Blue Cross.
Right.
And now they're saying it's going to be even more.
So I said, well, what? She said, go on the website and look and see what our plans are. They have a little column that says off the website or on the website.
Is this Blue Cross Blue Shield? Or they told you to go to their website?
It's the same cost.
Don't go to their website. Okay?
Yeah.
Here's what I would tell you to do. I would tell you to come to our website and actually look at all the policies from all the companies that are available.
At least $100 more for the same.
Was that with the? But that doesn't include the tax credit.
Well, I'm not sure I'm going to get that because here's the other kicker. Mm-hmm. My husband is Medicare age. He's receiving Social mm-hmm. Security. He's paying for his own Medicare through his Social Security. They insist on calculating his income with mine.
That's true.
And so I'm actually spending about 20% of my monthly income on an insurance premium that is $6,000 deductible. It's a what-if insurance policy. And
here they're saying on the Montana Health Co-op and all, and you even said yourself, if your employer offered insurance exceeds 8%, then you don't have to buy it. I said to her, well, you've got a catastrophic policy that is a $7,500 deductible, is somewhat less expensive. I might have to go with that. She said, well, you don't qualify for that because you're not under 30 and you're not indigent.
You can't.
There is no other option for you. Except to something that's so expensive.
Okay, I think that you need to go to an independent certified agent or an assister because the other plans being $100 more, that doesn't add up for me because that is not the premium difference.
I went to Montana Health Co-op. And
well, I would suggest that you get some assistance. I mean, everybody's situation is different, but it's true, the maximum deductible that you can get is going to be around $6,000 because, well, $12,700 for a family, so if you're buying a family plan.
What if it's not affordable to you?
If it's not affordable, there is an affordability waiver, and you won't have to be penalized if you can prove that it's not affordable. And the affordability is 8% of your... If your share, if your premium after tax credits and everything is more than 8% of your income,
then where do you apply for that?
You have to apply through the marketplace.
So essentially, you're left without insurance because you can't afford it.
Well, I would just encourage you to look a little bit harder because, frankly,
believe me, yeah. I checked all three companies.
Okay.
Because there's not that many to check in.
We have time for one more question. I do apologize that we're going to have to shut it off, but I've just been told I got one more question. And then lady clear in the back.
Yeah.
Hi. I just have a question about the tax credit. So it's based on the modified adjusted gross income. And is that's for the upcoming year, right?
It's a projection.
Yeah, that's a really good question. The question is for the tax credit, the modified adjusted gross income for the next year, yes, you're projecting that income.
So if my husband and I are seasonal workers, we never know really how much are we going to make. If we overestimate what we make, we're paying more, mm-hmm. we're getting less tax credit. If we underestimate, I think I was told that if I underestimate our income, that means we get a greater tax credit, mm-hmm. which means we're paying less for insurance, and that at the end of the year, if we make more than that, we have to pay that money back somehow. How does that work?
Yeah, that the IRS obviously is going to be looking at all this stuff when your taxes are filed, and those adjustments will be made at that point in time. And so, I mean, obviously you want to try to get as, and I realize that in certain cases, especially in yours, it can be difficult to actually project. But the one thing I would encourage people to do is to try not to over project. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to end up with a tax liability.
And they can change monthly.
Yeah, and you can go back. Let's say you did, project that you're going to make a certain amount of money, and let's say you're halfway through the year and you realize that you're going to make a lot more. You can go back to the marketplace and you can make a change. So then they can then adjust that tax credit moving forward throughout the rest of the year. So you can do that monthly, make those adjustments. But you just want to try to do your best you can. And as you adjust as the year goes on, in the end, you really should end up just fine. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's it.
We're done.
I want to say thank you for having us here today.
Thanks for coming, folks.
Thank you.